here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I'm Ryan McQueenie, a content writer here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Today is Friday, July 7th, and we're here to recap pretty much the past week and a half's biggest stories from the investment and financial world, and we hope everyone enjoyed their 4th of July holiday. I know I did. I got pretty sunburned.
Same, yeah.
But despite the shortened week of trading, we got a jam-packed week here for you guys.
Yeah, good point. I guess we are catching up on almost 2 weeks now of content. It's been a busy one around the global markets. And our featured story this week, we'll actually be looking at the recent and very rare downturn from Tesla. But first, we've got some M&A movement in the retail space. Maddie, can you fill us in on that?
Yes. So QVC, everyone's favorite TV shopping network.
Wait a second. My favorite is Home Shopping Network.
Yeah. Well, we're in luck. These two TV shopping networks, two of the most popular outlets, are merging. And I didn't realize
that they still existed.
That they were still a thing.
This story was a friendly
reminder.
They're
still thriving, uh-huh. Actually. So Liberty Interactive, they trade under the ticker QVCA. They're the owner of QVC, and they already own a minority stake in Home Shopping Network. We're just going to call them HSN. And they will be scooping up the rest of Home Shopping Network for about $2.1 billion in an all-stock deal. This is equivalent to about $40.36 per share for HSN, which represents a 29% premium to its previous closing price. So this move is clearly one that is meant to keep both companies alive as the pressure from Amazon and Walmart continued to mount. Home Shopping Network has already made some strides in this regard, and under the leadership of its recently departed CEO, Mindy Grossman, the company shifted to more of a lifestyle focus and built up its e-commerce platform. HSN now gets about half of its revenue from e-commerce. QVC CEO Michael George said that the newly combined company will generate about $7.5 billion in online sales and $4.7 billion in mobile sales, putting it behind only Amazon and Walmart in regards to value of online transactions. So numbers, it's nothing to laugh at. Like, they're like going to be like the third largest e-commerce platform now when they merge. I think the deal is expected to close in the fourth quarter this year.
Interesting, yeah. So as I mentioned before, the headline was a reminder that these companies are still out there, but
I know,
forced to be reckoned with still in the retail landscape. And I just remember it being one of those, I would land on QVC or HSN.
Like, what are they selling today?
Yeah, it would flip in channels,
weird
land
things
on that. And that was a legitimate way to order products. And I guess to an extent still is, but makes sense that the shift to e-commerce would have been made. So
yeah,
an interesting story there for sure. I'm going to shift gears a little bit here to another pretty interesting story, another kind of partnership. NVIDIA and Chinese internet giant Baidu announced a new agreement on Wednesday. These two companies have worked together before, but this is a new partnership. It's going to see the two companies work together across the cloud and artificial intelligence spaces. So the latest kind of agreement does a bunch of things. It includes a deal to use NVIDIA's Volta GPUs in the Baidu cloud. And it will also include the adoption of NVIDIA's Drive PX in Baidu's ongoing self-driving car projects, which include like partnerships to create self-driving cars or vehicles with several Chinese automakers. The companies will also work on optimizations for Baidu's Paddle open source deep learning platform. That's a big mouthful there, but they're working on optimizations for that platform for NVIDIA's Volta GPUs. Baidu is also going to be adding its virtual assistant, the Duer OS, to NVIDIA Shield TV, which is an Android-based streaming box, kind of similar to a Google Chrome. As I mentioned, the two companies have they've partnered up in the past, but we wanted to highlight this story this week because it was another sign that the emerging AI market is picking up a lot of steam. Into last week, NVIDIA, we had learned, was partnering up with several car companies on other self-driving car projects. So this one, an interesting way to grab a little market share over in China specifically. So yeah, that's a brief story, but one I wanted to highlight, of course, with NVIDIA, of course, snagging a ton of headlines throughout the year. One of the hotter stock picks in 2017. Speaking of headlines, this week has been full of headlines about Blue Apron. Recently IPO'd Blue Apron. Can you fill us in on that?
Yeah, an underwhelming IPO at that. So this all started last week when the largest meal kit delivery company in the U.S. said its IPO would be priced at $10 per share, and that was at the low end of the company's already slashed price range. Blue Apron originally expected it to price its 30 million shares of Class A common stock between $15 and $17 a piece. So it's really gone downhill. This cut put the company's valuation at $1.9 billion and set the company up to raise $300 million during its IPO last Thursday. And since then, it's been a steady decline for Blue Apron, which is now trading on the New York Stock Exchange under the ticker APRN. It was founded in 2012. Blue Apron specializes in bringing boxes of pre-measured ingredients to home cooks, delivering original and seasonal recipes weekly. Recipes are never repeated in the same year and are roughly 500 to 800 calories per serving. I can attest that they're very tasty, pretty easy to make. Some take longer than others. Some don't take too long at all. It really depends on really how much vegetables you have to chop. I can spend like 30 minutes chopping vegetables, it feels like sometimes.
I'm out on it already if it requires chopping. My chop skills are not where they need to be.
They teach you how to chop vegetables, though, if you don't know, like the proper techniques.
Does it come with like an instruction book or something? Like
they have videos online. They have a really nice smartphone app.
Okay, I didn't know that. I didn't know those details.
It'll guide you along the way.
Interesting.
It's also pretty expensive. Most of these premium things are.
Sure.
So a two-person plan provides three recipes per week for about $60. It's about $10 per serving. And a family plan offers either two or four recipes per week for $69.92 or $139.84, respectively.
So these...
A week.
I think Blue Apron is probably the biggest meal delivery kit.
It's also one of the cheapest.
Interesting.
Like HelloFresh is another popular one. They're about $10 more expensive a week.
Being that it is the biggest meal delivery kit system or platform or company, I think it's really the figurehead for the larger kit economy, as I'm calling it. We had the sharing economy, which is your Ubers and your Airbnbs.
Sure.
The kit economy is what I'm calling the new pay a monthly fee and have something delivered to your door every month or every week. Because it's not just meal kits, if you've noticed. It's like dog treat kits. You can get like a hot sauce one. You can get like they have a Trunk Club is the Chicago-based startup.
Yeah,
that's
they have
clothing.
A lot of apparel kit companies. Stitch Fix is a popular one. Litote is one.
Ooh, I like that
I've
that
looked
one.
At. Those are also on the more expensive side. Yeah, Trunk Club, I've looked at that. It's owned by Nordstrom, and they actually are more of a
personal kind of
it's a personal
designers.
Stylist service, more or less, where they have... I don't want to call them studios, but they have locations in certain cities across the U.S. where you go and you connect with a stylist and they basically pick out outfits for you and then they send them to you.
Okay.
But Trunk Club is really cool. But Stitch Fix and Litote are more of like your traditional, I'm going to send you a box of clothing, accessories, shoes, handbags on a monthly, a weekly, bi-weekly basis.
And there's no chopping vegetables required there.
No, and Amazon actually is just getting in on this apparel kit delivery game.
The kit economy.
The kit economy.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so anyways, back to Blue Apron. One side note, when Amazon announced that their plans to do this, their clothing delivery box thing, I kind of looked into it, but...
Not
like,
a fan?
No. Well, I don't really need it. I don't need that kind of fashion help. I'm pretty good at that on my own.
Oh,
just
okay.
Not bragging.
All right.
Just saying.
But you are a fan of the Blue Apron products.
Oh, I love it. Uh-huh. That's because they teach you all these like new cooking methods, these new recipes. Like I've cooked things I never would have thought to have cooked. like Mediterranean dishes, Middle Kid Eastern economy. Dishes. Like they like show you how like all these random spices that are too expensive to buy in the grocery store. Yeah.
Awesome. But however, not been a great first week of trading for Blue Apron.
Oh yeah. It's been really rough. But a little bit more positive stats for the company. They're now shipping about 8 million meals to customers nationwide every month, up from 5 million meals per month in October of 2015. That was according to the New York Times a few months ago. The company also said it had 4.3 million orders in the first quarter of this year, up from 3.7 million orders in the fourth quarter of 2016. And then through Thursday afternoon, shares of the company had already dipped below $8 a share. This weak performance is certainly not a good sign for the great IPO market, and especially considering how Snap's debut has sputtered so far.
A sad noise for Blue Apron's first week of trading. However, I will also include for the overall Kit economy, because yeah. I'm still a fan of the idea.
Yeah. Well, and so, side note, one last thing about the Kit economy.
It's just, this is a term that's already out there, right?
It has to be.
I didn't make this up at all.
I mean, if sharing economy was a thing, Kit economy is. I mean, if Gwyneth Paltrow and Serena Williams are investing,
that's true.
It's bound to be a success. So,
is Gwyneth Paltrow the one that was trying to sell the?
She's Goopy.
Okay, that's what I thought. That which are the stickers that NASA said were
RBS.
Yeah, that was a hilarious story. Yeah.
She also sells the jade egg.
I also want to let people know that
hundreds of dollars.
The goop that Gwyneth Paltrow is related to and the BS stickers that NASA said don't work, not the same company as Goop, the hand cleaner that is also a really effective degreaser for your laundry if you ever have grease stains on your clothes. You're welcome for that tip. Life skills with Ryan in the studio, tax investor.
Yeah, Gwyneth would not be related to that. She would not relate herself to that. She would more relate herself to $500 tissues and $60
magic healing stickers. I love it. Okay, so from one rough first week of trading to another rough week of trading, this one kind of a surprise from Tesla, a rare downturn from Tesla this week. Through Thursday afternoon, the stock was down more than 16% from Monday's high and down nearly 20% from the all-time high that it hit in late June. That's also going to get another sad sound. Over the past few days, analysts from several key firms, including Goldman Sachs, Bernstein, KeyBank Capital, and Cohen, have expressed frustration with Tesla's second quarter delivery figures, which missed estimates. Goldman analyst David Tamberrino said, quote, "We remain sell-rated on shares of Tesla, where we see potential for downside as the Model 3 launch curve undershoots the company's production targets and as 2H17 margins likely disappoint," end quote. That was in a note to clients on Wednesday. So yeah, projecting not great things in the second half of 2017 and an underwhelming rollout for the Model 3. Tamberrino also noted that demand for Tesla's other models was, quote, plateauing and lowered his price tag target for the stock to $180 per share from $190. This new price target represents a drop of nearly 50% from Monday's close. With an overall VGM grade of F, we can assume that many of the company's key metrics are shaky, and that's certainly a talking point that traditional investors have been desperately pointing to for some time. Sure, revenues are skyrocketing this year, but EPS figures are actually slipping, and real profits seem like a distant hope. I mean, even according to Elon Musk himself, the company will not be profitable for several more years. We expect Tesla to report again on August 2nd, and although the company's disappointing vehicle delivery figures would usually be a huge warning flag for investors, nobody can really know exactly what good or bad news the markets are going to pick out of Tesla's report this time around. If recent activity is any indicator, any news about production of the Model 3 is going to drive shares one way or the other. Yeah, last report, it was as simple as, production is on schedule. that sent scare.
Well, isn't that supposed to be this month?
Yeah, soon, right? Soon. Like maybe right now. So yeah, an interesting one for a stock that has been consistently climbing all year, and as I've said, kind of despite weaknesses elsewhere.
Sure.
A rough week finally.
Well, maybe we just need Elon to tweet something and it needs to go back up.
Mm-hmm. I will also note another story that was out there was a new report from CNBC citing some officials at the IIHS, the Highway Safety Rating body, that kind of questioned Musk's longstanding claim that the Model S is the safest car ever.
Oh.
Some new test results apparently bringing that into question, which may have contributed to this week's kind of shaky performance, and perhaps, you know, looking at it broader, could contribute to that plateau in demand that Goldman was highlighting earlier this week. So yeah, an interesting one from Tesla, but you know, kind of hard to predict anything going forward simply because, you know, as we were kind of touching at here, Tesla seems to play by its own rules completely.
Yeah. And we've talked about that before. I feel like you've said that before. We say that all the time when Elon tweets like some weird questionable thing on Twitter and investors react hastily and shares go up, shares go down, and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and I'm going to Marco Rubio it from the the Republican primaries way back when. Boy, that seems like a long time ago. Let's do away with this notion that Elon Musk does not know what he's talking about. Elon Musk knows exactly what he's talking about. So these tweets that are sometimes, I guess, could be seen as distraction methods, they seem very calculated to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Mr. Musk attempts to shift the conversation soon, now that we're all focused
on SpaceX.
To SpaceX or the boring company, which is digging tunnels under LA now.
Or his plans to make that high-speed rail from Chicago's Loop to O'Hare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're getting started in LA with a similar one, and hopefully... I'm going to say hopefully that's coming to Chicago, because that will benefit me. But yeah, an interesting... The Boring Company. I've found that one to be one of his more interesting things.
Maybe he'll just need... He just should hang out with Leonardo DiCaprio and they...
I would have to imagine they are at cocktail parties together frequently.
Right?
Like at Ultra or like Illuminati meetings, potentially. Can I say that on the podcast?
Yeah.
Potentially. Yeah,
satire. Well, can you say that out
loud? It's satire.
Can you say that word out loud?
Illuminati.
Will they come for you now?
Yeah, I'm on a list. Anyway, so yeah, Elon Musk in Enigma, Tesla as a stock, a mystery to me. if you have Tesla figured out, bullish or bearish, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. If you'd like us to cover a different story on next week's Finish Line, please feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com. You can also check out all of our other exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. As always, remember to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you next time on the Zacks Friday Finish Line.